to fight the fight. Tear down the walls of Babylon and pay her back. She caused your need. Oh, she made you lack.
Welcome to the Remnant Reading Room, featuring the book entitled Come Out of Her, My People, by C.J. Custer. Join us as we embark on this walk together to find truth and freedom from idolatrous ways. If you would like a copy of the scriptures included in today's program, you can find the download link by clicking on today's program in the station schedule at zion.org. That's spelled TSION.org. Welcome to the Remnant Reading Room, featuring the book entitled, Come Out of Her, My People. This book was a major step in my walk of finding the true worship. The way our Father wants us to not only worship, but to live and to exalt His name among the nations. Join us as we begin this walk together to find truth and freedom from idolatrous ways. Today we begin with the preface of the book, introducing what our study will entail. And we will cover the first four pages, inserting the scriptures referenced there. Let's begin. Those who read the newer translations of the scriptures are very often robbed of seeing what the original Hebrew text meant because of the modern tendency towards a free translation, or to use dynamic equivalents, as the modern translators called it. An example of this is the most important prophecy or prophetic promise by the Most High, that He shall turn back the captivity or captives of His people Israel in the end time. This fact is missed by those reading most of the newer translations, which render this as restore the fortunes of Israel or Judah or His people. This prophetic promise is found in almost all the prophetic books, as well as in Deuteronomy and Psalms. The most profound among these prophecies concerning the captivity of Israel are, of course, found in Acts 7, 42-43, Amos 5:25-27, Micah 4:10, and many places in the book of Jeremiah. Let's read those scriptures now. Acts 7:42. I'm starting in 41 for context. This was from Stephen's speech before the council in Jerusalem. And they made a calf in those days, and brought an offering to the idol, and were rejoicing in the works of their own hands. So Elohim turned and gave them up to worship the host of the heaven, as it has been written in the book of the prophets. Did you bring slaughtered beast and offerings unto me during 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel? And you took up the tent of Moloch, and the star of your mighty one, Kinyam, images which you made to bow before them. Therefore, I shall remove you beyond Babel. Now Amos 5:25-27. You brought me slaughterings and meal offerings in the wilderness for 40 years, O house of Israel. But you took up Sukkoth, your sovereign, and Kinyon, your idols, your astral mighty ones, which you made for yourselves. Therefore, I shall send you into exile beyond Damascus, said Yahweh, Elohim of hosts, his name. And finally, Micah 4:10. Be in pain and deliver, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in labor. For now you are to leave the city, and you shall dwell in the field. You shall go to Babel. There you shall be delivered. There Yahweh shall redeem you from the hand of your enemies. Now, what is meant by this captivity? First and most important of all is to realize that someone is not in captivity by choice, for example, of his own free will. He is in captivity because someone higher up has decided that he should be there. Nobody who is in captivity wishes to be there. Nevertheless, he is held captive. Secondly, let's see why Israel was sent into captivity. We read in Deuteronomy 28, verse 15, verse 41, verse 58, and 64, Yahweh said he shall send them and their sons and daughters, their posterity, into captivity because of them not obeying the voice of Yahweh, because of them not observing all the words of the teaching or the law. Let's read those verses from Deuteronomy right now. Deuteronomy 28:15. And it shall be, if you do not obey the voice of Yahweh your Elohim, to guard to do all his commands and his laws, which I command you today, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Verse 21, you bring forth sons and daughters, but they are not with you, for they go into captivity. Verse 58, if you do not guard to do all the words of this Torah that are written in this book, to fear this esteemed and awesome name, Yahweh, your Elohim. Verse 64, and Yahweh shall scatter you among all peoples, from one end of the earth to the other, and there you shall serve other mighty ones, which neither you nor your fathers have known, wood and stone. This captivity is also often called scattering, which virtually is a synonym for it, or parallels it. The well-known dispersion, or diaspora, or exile, also has the same meaning. Then we read in Deuteronomy 30:1-8 of the blessed promise that if his people turn back to him, he shall turn back their captivity and return them to their land. And they shall again obey the voice of Yahweh and do all his commandments. Let's read this Deuteronomy 30:1-8. Verse 1 And it shall be, when all these words come upon you, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before you, and you shall bring them back to your heart among all the Gentiles, where Yahweh your Elohim drives you, and shall turn back to Yahweh your Elohim and obey his voice, according to all that I command you today, with all your heart, with all your being, you and your children. Then Yahweh your Elohim shall turn back your captivity and shall have compassion on you. And he shall turn back and gather you from all the peoples where Yahweh your Elohim has scattered you. If any of you are driven out to the farthest parts under the heavens, from there Yahweh your Elohim does gather you, and from there he does take you. And Yahweh your Elohim shall bring you to the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. He shall do good to you, and increase you more than your fathers. And Yahweh your Elohim shall circumcise your heart and the heart of your seed, to love Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart and with all your being, so that you might live. And Yahweh your Elohim shall put all these curses on your enemies and on those who hate you, who persecuted you. And you shall turn back and obey the voice of Yahweh and do all his commands, which I command you today. This prophecy we just read has not come to consummation yet. It has not been completely fulfilled yet. So they went into captivity. They went into exile. They were sent into dispersion. They were scattered among the Gentile nations because they did not obey the voice of Yahweh. They did not observe to do all the words of the teaching, the law. Likewise, their return to the land is accompanied by or preceded by their returning or turning back to Yahweh and to obey his voice. The physical return to the land of Israel is not the important issue at stake. No, the all-important requisite and essential goal is that they turn back to him and obey his voice and observe to do all the words of the teaching. This captivity is generally known as the Babylonian captivity or Assyro-Babylonian captivity. Although an estimated 25% of those who were captives in Babylonia returned in two stages with Ezra Zerubbabel and Nehemiah in the year 538 BCE, and thereafter the vast majority of the 12 tribes were still in exile, were still dispersed or scattered, or still remained in captivity. Until recently, when they started to come back to their land. This return started since the land of Israel became a reality again in the year 1948 CE. And since then, there has been a steady and increasing return to Israel. However, the spiritual return or turning back is still feeble, almost lacking up to now. Their spiritual turning back from Assyro-Babylonian captivity is sorely wanting. The great end-time outpouring of the Spirit, the great cleansing, the great reviving of the dead bones is yet to come. The vast majority of Israelites have still not accepted Yeshua as their Savior. Ever since their partial return from Babylonian captivity, we find that they are in apostasy. They adopted the names of the Babylonian months, of which many are named after Babylonian deities. For example, Tammuz. Many synagogues have the Babylonian zodiac on their floors. A few other relics of astral worship are still evident, details of which we do not want to elaborate on at present. The scriptural Levitical priesthood has also been superseded by laymen, the Sadducees and Pharisees, etc. But let us leave expounding on all the details of their apostasy for a moment. At this stage, the born-again Gentile believer might ask, but what have I got to do with it? This is no concern of mine. This pertains to Israel after the flesh. And our reply is this. And there are 10 points to this reply. First, the passage in Romans 11:17-24 clearly tells us that the believing, born-again Gentile believer is grafted in among the true Israelites. Let's read that, Romans 11:17-24 now. If some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, have been grafted in among them, and came to share the root and fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches. And if you boast, remember, you do not bear the root, but the root bears you. You shall say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Good. By unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by belief. Do not be arrogant, but fear. For if Elohim did not spare the natural branches, he might not spare you either. See then the kindness and sharpness of Elohim on those who fell sharpness, but toward you kindness. If you continue in his kindness, otherwise you also shall be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for Elohim is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these who are the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? The second point is in Ephesians 2:19 and in Ephesians 3:6, we read that the Gentile believer becomes a fellow citizen and a fellow heir with the faithful Israelite and becomes a member of the household of Elohim. Let's look at Ephesians 2:19 now. So then, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the set-apart ones and members of the household of Elohim. Sometimes that includes the commonwealth of Israel. Ephesians 3:6. The Gentiles to be co-heirs, united in the same bodies, and partakers together in the promise in Messiah through the good news. The third point begins with Romans 15:27. Tells us that the born again of Gentiles become partakers of Israel's spiritual matters. Let's look at Romans 15:27. For they were pleased, and they were debtors. For if the Gentiles have shared in their spiritual matters, their duty is also to serve them in material matters. The fourth point is Romans 2:25-29. Makes it very clear, he whose heart is circumcised, he who keeps the law, is a Yehudite. Romans 2:25-29 says, for circumcision indeed profits if you practice the Torah. But if you are a transgressor of the Torah, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. So if an uncircumcised one watches over the righteousnesses of the Torah, shall not his uncircumcision be reckoned as circumcision? And the uncircumcised by nature who perfects the Torah shall judge you, who, notwithstanding letter and circumcision, are a transgressor of the Torah. For he is not a Yehudite who is one outwardly. Neither is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But a Yehudite is he who is so inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in spirit, not literally, whose praise is not from men, but from Elohim. Point number 5, Galatians 3:29 confirms this. If you belong to Messiah, you are Abraham's seed. Let's read the whole verse. And if you are of Messiah, then you are seed of Abraham and heirs according to the promise. As we shall prove later on in this book, the early Christian fathers, as well as the rabbinical writings and all the reformers, agreed that Rome is the second Babylon, spiritual Babylon. As you continue reading this book, we shall prove to you that the astral Babylonian worship deeply infiltrated the Roman Church, and her daughters continue with this. Point number 7. In Isaiah 14:4-17, a special prophetic passage pertaining to the times we are living in, we read that the king of Babylon rules the nations and that he has made the world a wilderness. Let's look at Isaiah 14, starting with verse 4-17. That you shall take up this proverb against the sovereign of Babel and say, how the oppressor has ceased, the gold gatherer ceased. Yahweh has broken the staff of the wrong, the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with ceaseless blows, he who ruled the Gentiles in displeasure is persecuted, and no one restrains. All the earth is at rest and at peace. They shall break forth into singing. Even the cypress trees rejoice over you, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since you were cut down, no woodcutter has come up against us. The grave from beneath is excited about you, to meet you at your coming. It stirs up the dead for you, all the chief ones of the earth. It has raised up from their thrones all the sovereigns of the Gentiles. All of them respond and say to you, have you also become as weak as we? Have you become like us? Your arrogance has been brought down to the grave, and the sound of your stringed instruments, the maggot is spread under you, and worms cover you. How have you fallen from the heavens, O Hillel, son of the morning? You have been cut down to the ground, you who laid low the Gentiles. For you have said in your heart, let me go up to the heavens. Let me raise my throne above the stars of El. And let me sit in the mount of meeting on the sides of the north. Let me go up above the heights of the clouds. Let me be like the Most High. But you are brought down to the grave, to the sides of the pit. Those who see you stare at you and ponder over you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook rains, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who would not open the house of his prisoners? Yeah, that's him. Number 8. In Daniel 2:28-45, another end-time prophecy, we read that the king of Babylon is the head of this image, which represents the Gentile nations of the world. All of the nations of this world and all the inhabitants of this earth are part of this image, of which the king of Babylon is the head, and which will be crushed to pieces, pulverized, when Yeshua comes. Daniel 2:28-45. But there is an Elah in the heavens, who reveals secrets. He has made known to Sovereign Nebuchadnezzar what is to be in the later days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these. As for you, O Sovereign, on your bed your thoughts came up. What is going to take place after this? And he who reveals secrets has made known to you what shall be after this. Ask for me, this secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom than anyone living, but for our sakes who make known the interpretation to the sovereign, and that you should know the thoughts of your heart. You, O sovereign, were looking on and saw a great image. This great image, and its brightness excellent, was standing before you, and its form was awesome. This image's head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You were looking on until a stone was cut out without hands, and it smote the image on its feet of iron and clay, and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. And the wind took them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled all the earth. This is the dream, and its interpretation we declare before the sovereign. You, O sovereign, are a sovereign of sovereigns, for the Eli of the heavens has given you a reign, power and strength and preciousness. And wherever the children of men dwell, or the beast of the field and the birds of the heaven, he has given them into your hand and has made you ruler over them all. You are the head of gold. And after you rises up another reign, lower than yours, and another reign of bronze that rules over all the earth. And the fourth reign is as strong as iron, because iron crushes and shatters all. So like iron that breaks in pieces, it crushes and breaks all these. Yet, as you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the reign is to be divided. But some of the strength of the iron is to be in it, because you saw the iron mixed with muddy clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly iron and partly clay, so the reign is partly strong and partly brittle. And as you saw iron mixed with muddy clay, they are mixing themselves with the seed of men, but they are not clinging to each other, even as iron does not mix with clay. In the days of these sovereigns, the Eli of the heavens will set up a reign which shall never be destroyed, nor the reign pass on to other people. It crushes and puts to an end all these reigns, and it shall stand forever. Because you saw that stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and it crushed the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great Eli has made known to the sovereign what shall be after this. And the dream is true, and its interpretation is trustworthy. By then you probably have guessed that that was Daniel speaking to Nebuchadnezzar. Point number 9. Jeremiah chapter 50 and 51 clearly affirm this, as well as the most astounding end-time prophecies in Revelation chapters 13 to 19. We're not going to read the full chapters. I'll leave that to you. These chapters clearly reveal to us how the nations of the earth had been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Jeremiah 51:7 and Revelation 17:2-5 are referenced here. How she has corrupted the earth. Revelation 19:2. We will read Jeremiah 51:7. Babel was a golden cup in the hand of Yahweh, making drunk all the earth. The nations drank her wine. That is why the nations went mad. Revelation 17, verse 2 through 5. Whom the sovereigns of the earth committed whoring, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her whoring. And he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, covered with names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was dressed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, holding in her hand a golden cup filled with abominations and the filthiness of her whoring. And upon her forehead a name was written, a secret: Babel the Great, the mother of the whores and of the abominations of the earth. Because true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great whore who corrupted the earth with her whoring, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. Revelation 19:2. Because true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great whore who corrupted the earth with her whoring, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. The last point, number 10. The only nation which is excluded from the end-time plagues and ultimate destruction is true Israel, the new covenanted Israel, the renewed Israel. That is why we read the oft-repeated call by the Most High, "Come out of her, my people." The first one to be called out was Abram in Genesis 12:1. The final call to come out of Babylon comes to us in Revelation 18:4. Let's read Abram's call in 12:1. And Yahweh said to Abram, "Go yourself out of your land, from your relatives and from your father's house, to a land which I shall show you." And the final call in Revelation 18:4. And I heard another voice from the heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, lest you receive of her plagues." Doesn't sound pleasant, does it? You, my brother and sister, are in this captivity too, this Babylonian captivity, not by choice, but because Yahweh has determined it to be so. And he is calling you and me to come out of her, for he is turning back our captivity. Ever since the Reformation began at the beginning of the 16th century, there have been steps taken to come out of her. This book, which you now read, is part of the final call and part of the restoration of all matters, as spoken in Acts 3:21. Let's read that. Whom heaven needs to receive until the times of restoration of all matters, of which Elohim spoke through the mouth of all his set-apart prophets since of old. We do not profess that further light will not come, for indeed our Savior will complete that which he has now started. He will thoroughly purge his threshing floor. He will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Matthew 3:12. That verse says, "His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he shall thoroughly cleanse his threshing floor, and gather his wheat into the storehouse, but the chaff he shall burn with unquenchable fire. This book serves to unveil the great apostasy, as Bible translators like to call it, as it is described in 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 through 12. Let no one deceive you in any way, because the falling away is to come first, and the man of lawlessness is to be revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called Elohim, or that is worshiped, so that he sits as Elohim in the dwelling place of Elohim, showing himself that he is Elohim. Do you not remember that I told you this while I was still with you? That was Paul speaking. And now you know what restrains for him to be revealed in his time. For the secret of lawlessness is already at work. Only until he who now restrains comes out of the midst. And then the lawless one shall be revealed, whom the master shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and bring to naught with the manifestation of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power and signs and wonders of falsehood, and with all deceit of unrighteousness in those perishing, because they did not receive the love of the truth in order for them to be saved. And for this reason, Elohim sends them a working of delusion for them to believe the falsehood, in order that they should be judged who did not believe the truth, but have delighted in the unrighteousness. It reveals to us the mystery of lawlessness of 2 Thessalonians 2:7, which we just read. It reveals to us mystery Babylon of Revelation 17:5, of which much is said in the final 11 chapters of the book of Revelation. It unmasks the abomination of desolation, which our Messiah said in Matthew 24:15, and Daniel as well in 9:27 and 11:31 and 12:11. It says the abomination of desolation will be found to be set up in the set apart place. Let's look at those verses. Revelation 17:5. Upon her head a name written, a secret, Babel the Great, the mother of whores, of the abominations of the earth. Matthew 24:15. So when you see the abomination that lays waste, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, set up in the set apart place, he who reads, let him understand. Daniel 9:27. And he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, and in the middle of the week he shall put an end to slaughtering and meal offering. And on the wing of abominations he shall lay waste, even until the complete end, and that which is decreed is poured out on the one who lays waste. And 11:31, and strong ones shall arise from him and profane the set-apart place, the stronghold, and shall take away that which is continual and set up the abomination that lays waste. And Daniel 12:11, and from the time that which is continual is taken away, and the abomination that lays waste is set up, is 1,290 days. In fulfillment of Messiah's promises in Luke 8:17, it unseals the important things that were revealed to Daniel in visions and dreams. Luke 8:17. For whatever is hidden shall be revealed, and whatever is secret shall be known and come to light. Daniel was commanded in Daniel 12:4. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Let's read the whole verse. Daniel 12:4. But you, Daniel, hide the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall diligently search, and knowledge shall increase. This command to Daniel was repeated to him in Daniel 12:9. That verse says, And he said, Go, Daniel, for the words are hidden and sealed till the time of the end. The sealing of the book was only up to the end time, until the time of the end. Many shall push forth, and knowledge shall increase. The German, Dutch, and Africanus translations have preferred the figurative meaning of the Hebrew word shut, S-H-U-T, which means push forth, namely, to do research. And it fits in perfectly with the context of this verse. The revelation of the abomination of desolation and all things what will be in the latter days are described for us in Daniel chapters 2, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. Again, we're not going to read the full chapters, but we are going to read some of those verses again, even though we've read some of them before. Daniel 2:28. But there is an Eli in the heavens who reveals secrets, and he has made known to sovereign Nebuchadnezzar what is to be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these. And that continues on. Daniel 7:18. Then the set-apart ones of the Most High shall receive the reign and possess the reign forever, even forever and ever. Daniel 7:27. And the reign and the rulership and the greatness of the reigns under the heavens shall be given to the people, the set-apart ones of the Most High. His reign is an everlasting reign, and all rulerships shall serve and obey him. Daniel 8:17. He then came near where I stood, and when he came, I feared and I fell on my face. But he said to me, Understand, son of man, for the vision is for the time of the end. Daniel 8:19. Look, I am making known to you what shall take place in the latter time of the wrath, for at the appointed time shall be the end. Daniel 8:26. And what was said in the vision of the evenings and mornings is true, and hide the vision, for it is after many days. Daniel 10:14. And I have come to make you understand what is to befall your people in the latter days, for the vision is yet for days to come. And finally, Daniel 12:1-3. Now at that time Michael shall stand up, the great head who is standing over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of distress, such as never was since there was a nation, until that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth wake up, some to everlasting life, and some to reproaches, everlasting abhorrence. And those who have insight shall shine like the brightness of the expanse, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. So all these verses represent the time frame that he's talking about here in the latter days. These visions, revelations, were so shocking that Daniel said, I, Daniel, was deeply troubled by my thoughts, and my face turned pale, but I kept the matter to myself. Daniel 7:28. This is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly alarmed me, and my color changed, and I kept the matter in my heart. Daniel 7:15. As for me, Daniel, my spirit was pierced within my body, and the visions of my head alarmed me. In Daniel 8:27, he said he fainted and was sick for days. He said, "And I, Daniel, was stricken and became sick for days. Then I rose up and went about the sovereign's work, and I was amazed at the vision, but there was no understanding." In Daniel 10:8 and 16-17, Daniel further recorded the sickening effect these revelations had upon him. "I had no strength left, my face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. I'm overcome with anguish. I am helpless. My strength is gone, and I can hardly breathe." That is exactly how we felt, too, when the abomination of desolation, the great apostasy, the mystery of lawlessness, and mystery Babylon was unveiled to us. The Spirit of truth was indeed guiding us into all truth. John 16:13. "But when he comes, the Spirit of truth shall guide you into all the truth, for he shall not speak from himself, but whatever he hears, he shall speak, and he shall announce to you what is to come." This Spirit of truth will be convicting us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. John 16:8. "And having come, he shall reprove the world concerning sin, and concerning righteousness, and concerning judgment." The Spirit was truly declaring to us our transgression and our sin. "But truly I am filled with power, with the Spirit of Yahweh, and with right ruling and with might, to declare to Yaakov his transgression, and to Israel his sin." Our Elohim was verily fulfilling his promise of Ezekiel 36:27. "And put my spirit within you, and I shall cause you to walk in my laws, and guard my right rulings, and shall do them." "I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes. You will keep my judgments and do them." Two versions of that scripture. The fire of the baptism of the Spirit does indeed burn up the shaft with unquenchable fire. Matthew 3:12. "His winning fork is in his hands, and he shall thoroughly cleanse his threshing floor and gather his wheat into his storehouse, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." All the revelation in this book were given to us as we were led by the Spirit, doing diligent research in the Scriptures, as well as in reliable sources of scholars of Scripture, of religious history, or of archaeology. Someone has attempted to criticize us for including non-ecclesiastical historians, archaeologists, in our research. However, this criticism can be refuted on the very scriptural example of the Almighty, even speaking through an ass, in Numbers 22:28. Numbers 22:28 says, "Then Yahweh opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, 'What have I done to you that you have beaten me these three times?'" And it is also speaking through using stones or archaeology, as Messiah has predicted in Luke 19:14. "But he answering said to them, 'I say to you that if these shall be silent, the stones would cry out.'" I think that's all we can do today. The preface is quite long. We should be able to finish it up in our next session. We'll continue here on page V in our next session. Thank you for listening. Be sure to join us right here on Zion Road Radio, learning more about why our Elohim tells us to come out of her, my people. Shalom. That's the end of today's reading. Be sure to join us next time as we continue reading more from Come Out of Her, My People. To see when the next program will air, go to the schedule on our website at zion.org. A copy of the scriptures we read today can be found by clicking on today's program in the station schedule on our website. To check the schedule and download a copy of the scriptures included in each program, go to tsiyon.org. And be sure to join us next time for more about why our Elohim tells us to come out of her, my people. Thanks for listening to today's program.
The restoration of the remnant of Israel is one of the most undertaught, neglected, and unknown major events in Bible prophecy.
A strange fact, since prophecies and references to this event can be found all throughout almost every major book of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation.
Now, Yahweh has raised up Zion Ministry to teach His remnant nation of Israel everything they need to know about this often neglected truth in His perfect timing.
To learn who the remnant of Israel is, what the Zion mission is, and why we teach the things we do, go to our website at zion.org and click the Remnant Vision in the menu bar.
That is TSION.org.
The Christian church system has claimed that Israel is cast off and done away with. However, Jeremiah 31, 35 through 37 says, "Thus says Yahweh, who gives the sun for a light by day, and the ordinance of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. Yahweh of hosts is his name. If these ordinances depart from before me, says Yahweh, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus says Yahweh, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, then will I also cast off the seed of Israel for all that they have done, says Yahweh. The sun is still here, the sea still roars, and the stars still shine. Learn how Yahweh's nation Israel is literally written in the stars as a permanent testimony of our God's commitment to His covenant with Israel. Visit our community site, Zion Tabernacle, and sign up as a free member to view Eliyahu ben David's seminar entitled, One Nation Written in the Stars, now available free of charge as a part of our Zion Fast Track, our introductory video course. Zion Fast Track will give you the big picture of what God is doing with His remnant nation in this very generation. To sign up and learn more about what other free resources you'll get as a Zion Tabernacle member, go to zion.org and click Join Us. That's TSION.org. Then click Join Us.
Return to me, my people, and I will restore you. Return to me, my people, and I will give you peace. Sound the trumpet, a call to repentance.
We will return to your and see.